We thank you for taking the time to listen to this teaching from Metro Church. We hope this inspiring message will empower and enrich your life.
We are on. Wow, what an introduction. I think I like that guy, whoever he was talking about. He must be awesome. It is great being here with you. We want to just give kudos to Chad and Julie and the great job they're doing. To Don and Nita, of course, who founded the church. And to you guys that have been around long enough to remember us when I wasn't fat and had hair on my head. It is amazing that we're still going on this journey. Amen. It's an awesome journey. And we're so thankful. We give you greetings from, of course, the House of Prayer in Clarksville. And we say good morning. I want to just bow my heart before you for a moment, if you'd bow with me, and ask the Lord just to help us give you a message. Father, we thank you that you're full of grace and mercy. You're a good, good Father. Lord, you have redeemed us. You have called us. You have chosen us. We're special. We're super special. And we thank you for your love that's manifested toward us, and we ask you to help us today present what I believe you've put on our heart. In Jesus' name. Amen. I call my message today, Team Jesus, going for the gold. That's my subplot. I'll tell you what, I've been watching the Olympics lately, and I enjoy watching the Olympics. It's just people who have totally sold out to the cause. It's amazing when you hear their journey and hear the things they've gone through, the miles they've swam, the miles they've run, the weights they've lifted, the many times they've tried and failed and got up and tried again, and yet they continue to try. And they strive for the gold. And I'm excited about that. And as I was watching the Olympics, I was jealous. I thought, what if we had a church full of Olympians? Hey, those that would go for the gold, those that would settle for nothing than the best, give God the very best they have, do what is impossible, and I think that's what they do. When I watch them do those acts and jumps and twists and turns, I think, wow, how do they do that? It's because they were dedicated. It was because they were committed. It was because they said, I'm going to do this in spite of myself. Now, of course, I don't want to try any of those things now. I'd be in geriatrics for a long time. But in my mind, I can imagine. I can think, wow, what does it feel like being on the Olympic team? Well, you're on a team this morning. You're on a team that's far superior to any natural Olympic team. You're on the Jesus team. Look at your neighbor and say, welcome to the team. As we look at this and think about it, getting on the team is not easy. Winning gold medals is not easy. And yet, if you want to, you can be on the team and you can win the gold. Yeah. Everyone in this room can win the gold. You say, that's not possible. I'm telling you, it's possible. If you commit your life to Jesus Christ, if you pursue him with all your heart, mind, and soul, you will win the gold. And I'm going to tell you what the gold is in just a moment, so don't leave the room. Jesus' team, that is believers, and most of us, I would assume in this room, are believers. And if you're not, you can become one today. But most of us in this room are on this team called the Jesus team. And we should be reaching and striving for the very best that we can do and become for the Lord Jesus Christ. We want to be as committed as any Olympian ever was. I looked at the scripture, and in Apostle Paul's writings, I found in Philippians 3, 13 and 14, just an amazing passage. It says, brethren, I count myself not to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, one thing I do, that denotes focus. This one thing, this goal of mine, this dream of mine, I'm putting all my energy into it. He says, I do, forgetting those things which are behind. And I think many times we need to do that. Hello, the devil likes to remind us of our past. We should remind him of his future. Hello. Yes, we've got a past, but it's the past. And Paul said, I forget those things that are behind me, and I reach forth into those things which are before me. I think he had a goal in mind. He had a gold medal in mind. And he said, I'm going to win this goal for the Lord Jesus Christ. And he pressed toward that goal. He says in 14, I pressed toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Press. Press. Repetition. Repetition. I'm going to do it again. I'm going to focus. I'm going to stay on target. I'm going to do more today than I did yesterday. I'm going to run a little faster. I'm going to lift a little more weight. I'm going to jump a little higher. I'm going to do all the things that are necessary to win this prize of the high calling in Christ Jesus. I think he kind of had an Olympics attitude as he lived his life in the world. And I believe God wants us to have gold medals. And I had for the board, the gold medal for Jesus' team is to be identified as Christians. It's not a gold chain with a gold piece. It's that when people look at you, they say, oh, they look like Jesus. Come on, that's good. Wait a minute. You say, well, that's not really worth working for. It is worth working for. Because when you look like Jesus, the world is drawn to that. Jesus had people drawn to him all the time. And if we could just get the goal of getting to look like Jesus, think of what people would do for us too. They would come to us. They would be drawn. In Psalms 17:15, it says, as for me, this is David's words, I shall be satisfied when I awake with thy likeness. His whole goal was to look more and more like his God. He wanted to get his attitude, get his thoughts, get his actions right. And we know he messed up some things, and we know he had, like Paul, to forget some of those things in the past and move ahead of those things. But his dream, his goal was to look more and more like God. Now, we're in a culture that's trying to look like everything. But I'm telling you, the Christian community needs to begin to look more and more like Jesus Christ. We see in the early church, the goal was hung around their neck one day in Acts chapter 11, verse 26, and it says, and the disciples were what? Called Christians. First in Antioch. Here we have a passage where these guys, now listen, they were in a day and hour where they were thrown to lions, they were beat, they were flogged, they were impaled on stakes, they were beheaded, they were imprisoned. And yet, in their mind, when someone called them a Christian, it was an honor. They had succeeded. They had won. They had won the goal. Yo, you see me. I'm different than everybody else. What makes me different? We were just in a home just recently witnessing to someone, and we said, do you see anything different in us? We were trying to get them to understand that God can work miracles. Do you see anything different in us? And they, oh, yes, we see that you're different. What they were seeing is us being molded and shaped like Jesus Christ. Our goal in life is to look more and more like Jesus. Come on, look at your neighbor and ask them, are you looking like Jesus these days? We need to think, we need to act, we need to talk like Jesus. Just as these Olympians focused and focused and focused on their goal, I would encourage us to do so too. In the time I have, I want to mention three goals I believe we need to set if we're going to look more and more like Jesus. Now, I need to lose a little weight to look like Jesus, but he walked everywhere he went. I got the privilege to ride. Come on. But we want to look like Jesus this morning. My first goal that I want to talk to you about this morning is realizing who you are. I believe there's been an identity theft. The devil has stole the church's identity. It has robbed the church of its identity. It's tried to make us as confused as the world is. Have you ever noticed how confused the world is? They don't even know who they are, what they are. But the church needs to understand who they are. You need to understand you're different than the world. You're special. You're set apart. Man, you're champions for God. You're warriors. Hello? Look at someone and say, you ought to be different. Come on, when we go into settings in the world and look at what's going on around us, we have to understand we can't act like them. We can't talk like them. We can't do what they do. We are different. We are Christians. We are on Jesus' team. And he's wanting us to look like champions that will run the race and win the medal. He's got a special, special goal for us. In John 1:12, it says, but as many as have received him, that is Christ, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. I want to just describe you for a moment, biblically. I want to read some thoughts out of the scripture that ought to identify with us, and we should try to to arrive to and achieve to become. Listen, we're born again. I don't know about you, but I didn't come in accidentally. It was a birth canal. I came in. I was born again. God redeemed, caught me. He found me. He saved me. He gave me a new life. There was a brand new start. I was once the devil's child. Now I am a child of God. The born again experience rescued me. It saved me. It brought me in. Here's some other things the scripture says. You're blood bought and you're redeemed. In other words, your sins have been paid for. You have been covered by the blood. Everything you've done before Jesus, God has covered with the blood of Jesus. And he's removed those sins from you. He's removed the guilt and shame from you. Man, you are free. You are free. If I came to you today and paid all your bills off, you would probably act quite different this afternoon. Because you are redeemed. Your debts have been paid for. God has paid our debts. Those sins that I did and committed, we were just witnessing to a family and told them how we used to be. And they said, not you. You weren't like that. I said, oh, yes. I didn't come in clean. I didn't come in saved. I came in as lost as the next guy. I came in messed up like everybody else. But God has redeemed me. He's paid for my sins. And I want to act like I am free. Are you with me this morning? We're told in 1 Peter 2:9, you're a chosen generation. Wow. He chose us. He didn't. You aren't not an accident. You know what I'm so impressed with Beth is she made a good choice for 50 years ago. Almost 51 years ago, she chose me. Hello, what makes me special? She chose me. What makes us special is God looked all over the earth and he chose you. He looked in your house where you live and into your world and he said, I want you. I choose you. You're a chosen generation. He says also, you're royal. Come on, we need to lift our heads up and act kingly. We need to walk with some pride and dignity because we're no longer just sinners in shame. We're saints of the Most High God. We are redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. We are royal. Come on, throw your chest out. Lift your head up. You are redeemed. And then he says, you're holy. Now, this holiness issue, we don't hear much anymore, but you're holy. God has called you out of that sinful lifestyle and made you so different that when people look at you, they say, what happened to you? What happened to you? I went to a class reunion one time, and they said, what are you doing? I said, I'm preaching. I'm a pastor. They said, you? You? Yeah, I said, yeah, I couldn't believe it either. Hello, I couldn't believe it about myself. What happened? God chose me. He made me royal. He cleaned my life up. He produced some holiness inside of me. And the things we used to do, we don't do anymore. We're living a different life, a higher level of life. We are free from those things by the blood of the Lamb. And if that didn't get you, he said, you're peculiar. Now, I know you're peculiar. When you looked in the mirror this morning, you looked at yourself and said, you are pretty peculiar. Hello, we are a peculiar people, meaning simply that we stand out. We don't blend in. Too many are wanting just to blend into our culture. We need to stand out like a light, like a beacon of light, and let them know that God is able to redeem us. God is able to save us. And don't take credit for yourself because you didn't do it. He chose you. Can someone say amen?
Amen.
We're new creatures where old things pass away. All things become new. We're filled with the Holy Ghost. I'm just trying to identify you this morning, give you some identity. Man, you are redeemed. You're full of the Holy Ghost. God's in you. Have you spoken in tongues? We were witnessing, and someone said, look me right in the eye and tell me you speak in tongues. I said, I speak in tongues. Hello? You know, we're full of the Holy Ghost. There's a power of God that has come into us to give us power for life. I'm telling you, when the Holy Spirit inhabits your body, man, you're a new thing. You've got some dynamo, and it's in you. You're jumping higher, running faster, swimming faster, cycling faster. You're moving on for God because of the Holy Ghost. Look at someone and say, do you have the Holy Ghost? The same power that raised Jesus from the dead will raise you from the dead. And you are now, according to scriptures, sons and daughters of God. That is special. Just wanted to say, first and foremost, know who you are. If you're on the American team, be an American. If you're on a Chinese team, be a Chinese. If you're on the Christian team, be a Christian. Come on, just be a Christian. Just be bold enough to say, yes, I am one. Someone asked me one day, are you a Christian? I said, I try to be every day. I want to be. I'm living for Jesus. I hope you can tell there's a difference. Amen. Second goal, and I'm running out of time, but the second goal is recognizing that the road to your goal metal might be rough and tough. Come on, are you listening to me? Not everything's easy. As a matter of fact, every hero in the Bible went through tough times. And yet we want to be Christians with no pain. And they say no pain, no gain. We want to be a Christian and not be mocked and attacked. They were hanging them. They were crucifying them. We need to be understanding that the goal that we want is tough sometimes and hard sometimes. And we have to persevere and press through. It's not easy all the time. Every morning you get up, you don't have to get up with a smile, but when you look in that mirror and before you leave the house, tell yourself, it's going to be all right. God's on my side. There's more for me than against me. Greater is he that is in me than that devil that's in the world. I'm going on that job. I believe God's in me. I believe I'm going to be bold as a lion in that job, and I'm going to witness for Jesus Christ. The path is difficult. Every person, as I said, in the Bible that was a hero was challenged. I was thinking about this as I looked at Joseph's life. What an amazing journey. It's in Genesis 37 through 47, so we won't read it this morning. But what a journey. Can you imagine? You wake up with this dream. You wake up with this goal in mind. You're going to be something. You're going to be somebody. You know, when I got saved, I thought the devil got killed. I really did. I thought God done slaughtered him. I woke up the next morning and he was still alive. What a shame. I thought he would be gone. That these temptations and these things and these thoughts and these words. We were praying with a person the other day and they were cursing as they were praying. And I thought, okay, well, we can work on that. Let's just keep praying. At least they're saying God. I wish they'd leave the, you know, out. But let's just go on with this thing. This is working. They're praying. I think when we think about it, our journey's going to be tough. Many people quit just one step short of a miracle. Come on. One more door. One more hallway. One more time on the job. One more witnessing experience. One more little bit of pain. Little bit of pain. You know, in the gym, they say, come on, man, one more rep. Push it one more time. You've got more in you than that. Push it one more time. I want to tell you as Christians, you need to push it one more time. You need to love that person one more time. You need to forgive that person one more time. You need to witness to that person one more time. You need to go the extra mile. You need to carry it another mile. Are you listening to me? Because it's in this goal setting that we win our gold medal. I looked at this Joseph character and he's amazing. He had this amazing dream. Sometimes it don't pay to dream. It could cost you. He comes out and tells his family, you're going to bow down to me. Hello? Sometimes you shouldn't share your dreams. And they said, no way, Jose. It's not going to happen. And they sold him. Got ticked off at him. His brothers got mad, angry. Have you ever had your family get angry with you? Hello? Yes? And they get angry. And they sell him. And they sell him into slavery. He goes down and he's in prison. Then he goes into Potiphar's house and he gets a little increase, a little job increase. And he's working in Potiphar's house and doing pretty good until Potiphar's wife looked at him. Must have been a handsome dude. She wanted him. She wanted some fun with him. And he had to refuse that. And he refused her and ran out and left his coat. Guys, always get your coat. Never leave any evidence. Get out of Dodge, take everything with you. He left Dodge, he ran for his life, but she said he raped me. And so now he's back in prison. He goes in prison, he has a dream. They have a dream, he interprets it, and now he's going to get out of prison, and they forget him. They leave him in prison. Listen to me, he wasn't having a bad hair day. He was having a bad hair life. This thing wasn't getting any better. In prison, in prison for nothing, for just sharing his dream. He's in prison, and he's suffering. He's agonizing in prison. It's not good in prison, guys. Hey, but he was in prison. But there was a clue and a key that I find very interesting. When he was in prison, this is what he said when he was elevated. He came to the top. He was Pharaoh's second in charge. His brothers came down to him, and he uses this verse in Genesis 45:5. I like this verse. It says this, God did send me before you to preserve life. I could preach a whole message on that one thought. What are you going through today? What are you suffering today? What are your challenges today? It may be that God has allowed those challenges, that opportunity in your life, for you to endure some things so that somebody else, say somebody else, somebody else who may be struggling in that area can come alongside you, and you can be the hero. You can be the one who stands up and says, God is able. You can be the one that says, I know how you feel. I felt the same way until I realized what God could do for me. Listen to me, guys. All these things we endure for a season are for opportunity of growth. And we grow in God. We grow in God. Those weightlifting times and those sweaty gyms and long miles of running is so they can endure. And sometimes we don't want any of that. Hello, not me. God, let somebody else have that problem. And God says, well, I think you can handle this problem. Let me just lay it on you for a little bit, because somebody you know needs Jesus. Somebody you know needs hope. Somebody you know needs help. And if you will endure, if you will suffer through that thing, you can sit down with them and say, I have an answer for you. I know the guy that can help you out of this situation. I have faith in a God who is more than able. Are you with me? Our goal should be to take our challenges at face value and endure to the end. It's important that we don't run from problems, run from challenges. Change churches, change wives, change jobs, change everything. You know what I found out? Generally, when you get where you're going, there you are. You'll catch that tomorrow. It's amazing. I had a woman tell me, I've got my fifth husband. None of them any good. I got to thinking, what's the common denominator in this equation? Either she's a pretty poor choice of character, or she might be the problem. And God wants to work something out, so he sends another one just like the other one. And he's trying to fix this situation, trying to grow us, mature us, discipline us so that we can handle these things. I believe we're coming into an era in our life, in this world, that they're going to need people just like you that can look them right in the eye and say, I've been where you are. I know what you're going through. I can help you if you'll just trust me, if you'll join hands with me, if you'll pray with me. I know God is able. God did it for me, and he can do it for you. But if you've never had any issues, you never had any tests, you'll never have a testimony. You get jealous of that person that comes up here and tells what great thing God did for them. They got that great testimony because they were put through a great test. And they endured the test and came out the other end. And you can too. Look at your neighbor and say, he's talking about you. You can make it through this challenge. You can make it through this test. God wants you to succeed. Hello, are you with me? Let me go to my last point. Refuse. Look at someone and say, refuse. Refuse to settle for less than the goal. Quitters never win, and winners never quit. And I believe with all my heart the devil is constantly trying to negotiate with us. Let's make a deal. Always wanting to make a deal with you. God has a dream, a plan for your life. You know it. You feel it. You know you're special. You know you're different. You know God has brought you out of something, and he's taking you somewhere, and the devil's always whispering, trying to negotiate. Now, really, you know, you really can't be that good at that. You know, you really can't be successful. You're going to fail tomorrow. You might as well not tell him today, because you're going to mess up tomorrow. And he's always trying to negotiate us out of our gold. Anybody had that happen to you? Whisper in your ear and tell you you're going to mess up the next time you try. You can't witness to that person. They'll never listen to you. You need not pray for that person. God won't answer. He's always trying to downsize God and get us to give up on God when we should never negotiate with the devil. Never sit at his table. Never talk with him. Abraham, Isaac, Joseph, Daniel, David, Peter, Paul, and any other of those characters in the Bible realize that they had to hold on to get what God had in plan for them. Listen to me. When Joseph is walking through the prison quarters, I'm sure he realized and remembered, God spoke to me. I had a dream. It was a God dream. And I have to hold on to that dream. I can't let that dream go. Don't you know the devil negotiated many a time with him saying, you just ate bad pizza? That wasn't a God dream. You just ate some bad food and made you dream. And Joseph had to continue to say to him, no, I will not settle for less. No, I'm going to be what God intended me to be. No, God called me to save my family. No, God redeemed me. And he went through all the process. David is another one that I'm impressed with. He, in the caves of Adullam, Ella running for his life, enemy was after him. Saul, the king, was after him. And he couldn't get out of his head that Samuel anointed his head with oil and said, you're going to be king of Israel. Negotiate if you will, devil. I'm not listening. Come on, some of us need to turn off that channel and go to another channel that gives you some victory, that gives you some hope, that gives you a future. Turn off his lies, his accusations. He's out to steal, kill, and destroy. Quit listening to him. Get away from that person that constantly pumps negativity into your ears. Get around somebody that says there's hope, there's faith. God is able, more than able. Are you with me? God wants to do good things in your life. God has a great plan for your life, and you've got to move it on. When I thought about this, I looked at the life of Moses, and Moses was a neat guy too. He tried to save his nation, his people. It didn't work. He ran for his life. Out in the backside of a desert, taking care of his daddy's sheep, his father-in-law's sheep, God speaks to him. He was minding his own business, and God came down to him and said, I want you on my team. Will you join my team, Mo? And Mo said, wait a minute, what team? The team that I'm going to send back to Egypt to set my people free. And I'm sure that Moses had some real serious consideration to do. I remember that place. I was there. I ran for my life. I'm not sure I want to go back. And yet when he got through the negotiation, we find Moses going back to Egypt to deliver God's people. And that's what every one of us are designed to do. If it wasn't, God would just save you and take you up. But he saved you so you can go back into your community of family, friends, workers, and win them to Jesus. Moses went back to Pharaoh, and he told him this, let God's people go. Just let God's people go. Are you hearing me, Mo? Moses said, are you hearing me? Let God's people go. And this is what I like. I don't know if you've ever caught it reading through the scripture, but Pharaoh began to negotiate. Moses, you can go. You and the men. That's all. Moses said, no, can't go with just the men. Moses, you can go, he went on, and said, you can go with not just the men, but you can take the children. No, I can't go. Moses, you can take the women, but leave the flocks. No, I can't go. God sent me here to deliver God's people and all their possessions. And in this negotiation period, Moses kept saying to Pharaoh, no way, Jose. You're not going to take more than God wants from me. I've got it all. God sent me to deliver it all. It's all coming with me. It's all or none at all. And so as he dealt with Pharaoh, we find him in the scripture leaving with all the men, all the women, all the children, all the cattle, all the possessions, and a lot of the wealth of the people of Egypt. Hello. You know, if you just hang in there and not negotiate down, God will give you the desires of your heart. Stay true to God. Stay faithful to him. Work with him. Watch what he's got for you. It says in the scripture, by faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing one or him who is invisible. We need to take our eyes off the natural and just focus on God. I watch those gymnasts and Olympians, and you can see them going through their mind. They're making every move before they ever leave the starting block. You can see them setting it. Yeah. They're watching it right down to the final leap. Let me just suggest to you that you just need to keep your eyes on Jesus. Look to him who is able. He is able to get this thing done. It may look like zero chance, but with God, all things are possible. Hang in there. Believe God. Watch for his hand to move in your life. He's supernatural, by the way. He can do what we can't do. We can only do the natural. But boy, I've seen God do some supernatural stuff. Stuff that is amazing. So I'm here to challenge you today. Always know who you are. Look in the mirror before you leave home and say, I'm a blood-bought saint. I'm redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. I'm a child of God. God has a mission for me to be on today. I'm leaving here full of the Holy Ghost. I'm leaving here ready to go do the will of God. Recognize that when you run into those oppositions, those problems, those challenges, it's just God's way of maturing you, getting you stronger, getting you able to handle that, because somebody else needs that. They need you to help them through. How many has ever been helped through by somebody who made it before you? Look at the hands around you. It happens to all of us. Somebody walked that path before us. And last but not least, don't settle for anything less than the gold. Keep running the race. Win this thing. 2 Timothy, and I'll close with this, says this, Paul's writing again. I have fought a good fight, and I've finished my course. I have kept the faith. Those three thoughts hold me. They have claimed my life. I have fought a good fight. Come on, guys, we're in a fight. We're not mamby-pambies. We're not just tiptoeing through the tulips. We're soldiers of the Most High God. He has redeemed us. He has empowered us to do amazing things, to take on demons and take on cultures and take on the world. That's who we are. Listen, I finished my course. Don't let anyone take you off course. Metro, maintain the course. 1,000,003 is nothing compared to what God can do. God is challenging you to reach a world for him. Stay the course with him. And then he said, I've kept the faith. And all your doings, don't surrender your faith. Your faith is the most important thing you have. Jesus said about Peter, Peter, when Satan's tried you, I prayed for you that your faith fell not. Your faith. God is able. He's worked miracles in my life. He's worked them in yours. You know people that have seen amazing things done by an amazing God. That's faith. Believe God for the impossible. Believe him for what he wants you to do. Goes on to say in this verse, henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness. You want your gold? You want your crown? Keep your faith. Stay in the fight. Finish the course. And watch what God does for you. We sung a song on the olden days, back when I was young and vibrant. We sung a song, don't give up on the brink of a miracle. Don't give up on the brink of a miracle. Can I just say in closing, your breakthrough could be that far away. Your breakthrough to the next level can be one prayer away, one scripture away, one song away, one service away. Don't give up on the brink of a miracle. God bless you.
We hope you've enjoyed this teaching from Metro Church.